Hi, this is Cale Clark. Welcome to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio mobile app. I'm so glad that you're with me today for this journey of exploring, understanding, explaining, and defending our Catholic faith.
The Bible can never be faulted for not being very honest about the human condition, including the darkness of the sinful human heart. And what we've got for you today is a little something extra from the book of Daniel. Might not have been part of the original text of Daniel. It's very, very disputed, but it is part of the text of Daniel in the Catholic Bible. And the question of where it came from, its provenance, and whether it was at the end or originally at the beginning, we'll deal with that later. But I do want to say this off the top. This could be considered kind of a hashtag Me Too story in the Bible. So what I mean by that is that there will be some mature themes and subject matter discussed. So if you do have little ones nearby, you might want to shuffle them off to another room or maybe put your headphones on because we will be dealing with a rather salacious story, to say the least. But it is ultimately a story of hope, vindication, and the wisdom of God, which we can tap into every day. It's the story of Susanna in the book of Daniel, and it's from Daniel chapter 13. So let's check it out together, shall we? It starts off this way. There was a man living in Babylon whose name was Joachim, and he took a wife named Susanna, the daughter of Hilkiah, a very beautiful woman and one who feared the Lord. Her parents were righteous and had taught their daughter according to the law of Moses. Joachim was very rich and had a spacious garden adjoining his house, and the Jews used to come to him because he was the most honored of them all. In that year, two elders from the people were appointed as judges. Concerning them, the Lord had said, "Iniquity came forth from Babylon, from elders who were judges, who were supposed to govern the people." These men were frequently at Joachim's house, and all who had suits at law came to them. When the people departed at noon, Susanna would go into her husband's garden to walk. The two elders used to see her every day, going in and walking about, and they began to desire her. And they perverted their minds and turned away their eyes from looking to heaven or remembering righteous judgments. Both were overwhelmed with passion for her, but they did not tell each other of their distress, for they were ashamed to disclose their lustful desire to possess her, and they watched eagerly day after day to see her. They said to each other, "Let us go home, for it is mealtime." And when they went out, they parted from each other, but turning back, they met again. And when each pressed the other for the reason, they confessed their lust, and then together they arranged for a time when they could find her alone. Once, while they were waiting for an opportune day, she went in as before with only two maids and wished to bathe in the garden, for it was very hot. And no one was there except the two elders who had hid themselves and were watching her. She said to her maids, "Bring me oil and ointments and shut the garden doors so that I may bathe." They did as she said, shut the garden doors, and went out by the side doors to bring what they had been commanded. And they did not see the elders, because they were hidden. When the maids had gone out, the two elders rose and ran to her and said, "Look, the garden doors are shut. No one sees us, and we are in love with you. So give your consent and lie with us. If you refuse, we will testify against you that a young man was with you, and this was why you sent your maids away." Susanna sighed deeply and said, "I am hemmed in on every side, for if I do this thing, it is death for me, and if I do not, I shall not escape your hands. I choose not to do it, and to fall into your hands, rather than to sin in the sight of the Lord." Then Susanna cried out with a loud voice, and the two elders shouted against her. And one of them ran and opened the garden doors. When the household servants heard the shouting in the garden, they rushed in at the side door to see what had happened to her. And when the elders told their tale, the servants were greatly ashamed, for nothing like this had ever been said about Susanna. The next day, when the people gathered at the house of her husband Joachim, the two elders came full of their wicked plot to have Susanna put to death. They said before the people, "Send for Susanna, the daughter of Hilkiah, who is the wife of Joachim." So they sent for her, and she came with her parents, her children, and all her kindred. Now Susanna was a woman of great refinement and beautiful in appearance. As she was veiled, the wicked men ordered her to be unveiled, that they might feed upon her beauty. But her family and friends and all who saw her wept. Then the two elders stood up in the midst of the people and laid their hands upon her head. And she, weeping, looked up toward heaven, for her heart trusted in the Lord. The elders said, "As we were walking in the garden alone, this woman came in with two maids, shut the garden doors, and dismissed the maids. Then a young man who had been hidden came to her and lay with her. We were in a corner of the garden, and when we saw this wickedness, we ran to them. We saw them embracing, but we could not hold the man, for he was too strong for us. And he opened the doors and dashed out. So we seized this woman and asked her who the young man was, but she would not tell us. These things we testify." The assembly believed them, because they were elders of the people and judges, and they condemned her to death. Then Susanna cried out with a loud voice and said, "O eternal God, who discern what is secret, who are aware of all things before they come to be, you know that these men have borne false witness against me, and now I am to die. Yet I have done none of the things that they have wickedly invented against me." The Lord heard her cry, and as she was being led away to be put to death, God aroused the Holy Spirit of a young lad named Daniel, and he cried with a loud voice, "I am innocent of the blood of this woman." All the people turned to him and said, "What is this that you have said?" Taking his stand in the midst of them, he said, "Are you such fools, you sons of Israel? Have you condemned a daughter of Israel without examination and without learning the facts? Return to the place of judgment, for these men have borne false witness against her." Then all the people returned in haste. And the elder said to him, "Come, sit among us and inform us, for God has given you that right." And Daniel said to them, "Separate them far from each other, and I will examine them." When they were separated from each other, he summoned one of them and said to him, "You old relic of wicked days, your sins have now come home, which you have committed in the past, pronouncing unjust judgments, condemning the innocent, and letting the guilty go free, though the Lord said, 'Do not put to death an innocent and righteous person.' Now then, if you really saw her, tell me this: under what tree did you see them being intimate with each other?" He answered, "Under a mastic tree." And Daniel said, "Very well, you have lied against your own head, for the angel of God has received the sentence from God and will immediately cut you in two." Then he put him aside and commanded them to bring the other. And he said to him, "You offspring of Canaan and not of Judah, beauty has deceived you and lust has perverted your heart. This is how both of you have been dealing with the daughters of Israel, and they were intimate with you through fear. But a daughter of Judah would not endure your wickedness. So then tell me, under what tree did you catch them being intimate with each other?" He answered, "Under an evergreen oak." And Daniel said to him, "Very well, you also have lied against your own head, for the angel of God is waiting with his sword to saw you in two, that he may destroy you both." Then all the assembly shouted loudly and blessed God, who saves those who hope in him. And they rose against the two elders, for out of their own mouths Daniel had convicted them of bearing false witness. And they did to them as they had wickedly planned to do to their neighbor. Acting in accordance with the law of Moses, they put them to death. Thus innocent blood was saved that day. And Hilkiah and his wife praised God for their daughter Susanna. And so did Joachim, her husband, and all her kindred, because nothing shameful was found in her. And from that day onward, Daniel had a great reputation among the people. You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. That is clearly one of the most dramatic narratives in the entire Old Testament. And we have it at the end of the book of Daniel. And it seems a little bit out of place because this seems to deal with Daniel as a very young man. Well, he clearly is a young man in the story. And it seems to be way back in the Babylonian captivity under King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we know that the stories of Daniel and his friends in Babylon and how God gave him great wisdom and got them out of some pretty serious jams, that was really in the first half of the book of Daniel. And the second half of Daniel has to do with apocalyptic visions. It's apocalyptic literature, much like you would see in the book of Revelation. Well, this account kind of belongs to that first half of the book, really. And this is why in some editions of the Bible that started appearing in the second century AD, the account of Susanna, this story actually was in the beginning of the book of Daniel, which in some ways makes a little bit more sense. But in our present arrangement of Daniel, it comes at the very, very end. And there is some question whether it was part of the original book, but I do want to say this, that there were a lot of stories about Daniel that didn't make it into the Bible, believe it or not. His success in the courts of Babylon and later in Persia really were quite famous among the Jewish people. And a lot of these stories got passed around, and some of them got included in the book of Daniel. And this is called, for Catholics, it's part of what are called the deuterocanonical books of the Bible. The Protestants call them the Apocrypha. And the Protestants don't see these as being scripture, but Catholics and Orthodox Christians do. And so this section of Daniel would be considered part of the Apocrypha to Protestants. We still call it scripture, of course, the Deuterocanon, or the second canon for us as Catholics. But really, the success of Daniel here, as he was part of what's called the diaspora, the people of God in the Old Testament, Israel, the Jews who were spread out all over the world for various reasons, but remained very, very loyal to their faith, respected by non-Jews, respected by Jews as well, their fellow Jews. And by the way, this is a great example for us. This is exactly what we are called to do as Catholics, to live lives of such great honor and wisdom, really abiding by the principles of God, that our fellow Catholics can admire us and look up to us, and also non-Catholics can be drawn to the truth, the true God, through our very lives. And this is the great example of Daniel here. And there's a great article about this piece that was written by, this chapter rather, that was written by Professor Malka Simkovich, who is the chair of Jewish studies at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. And I read her account on this chapter, and I took a lot of wisdom from it. I'm going to share a lot of it with you because it's really, really well done. And so what we have here at the opening of this chapter with this account of Susanna, Susanna is, just as Daniel was really put forth as a model Israelite, the same is true of Susanna. She's really a heroine in this tale. She is an ideal woman. Her husband is Joachim, who is quite wealthy. He's obviously a leading figure among the Jews who are captive, I guess, in Babylon. They're kind of held there, and yet they have their own community, and they operate in much the same way as they would at home, having these judges. And this was part of what the Old Testament required, that judges be appointed to solve disputes among the people, not to take their matters to a Gentile court, if at all possible. So Joachim, Susanna's husband, is quite wealthy. Her father was a very, very holy man named Chilkiah. And here's how Daniel chapter 13 describes Susanna in the first bit of that chapter. She's called a very beautiful woman, one who feared the Lord. Her parents were righteous and had trained their daughter according to the law of Moses. And that's in verses 2 and 3. And the fact that she knew very well the Bible. She knew very well those books of Moses. That would prove to be huge later on when this very unfortunate event happens to her. These wicked, wicked elders, they're really the prototypical, quote-unquote, dirty old men who become judges, and they're absolutely corrupt to the core. And these two elders go to Joachim's house, and they're part of adjudicating all these court cases. People would bring their kind of civil matters to Joachim's house, and they'd meet there in the morning, and these cases would be decided upon. And these two elders see Susanna, the beautiful wife of Joachim, taking walks in the garden, and they're absolutely overwhelmed with wicked lust for her. Now, they don't talk to each other about this, but one day they're kind of meeting when it's time to go home. They say, all right, it's time to go home for lunch, and they kind of go their own ways, but then they turn around. They both come back to the garden so that they can try to spy on Susanna, kind of catch a glimpse of her, or maybe, unfortunately, try to do something else. And they're spying on her, and then they spy each other. And they're like, what are you doing here? Nothing. What are you doing here? And they start to question each other. I thought you went home. I thought you were having lunch as well. And they eventually realize they are both after Susanna. And they kind of admit that they have fallen in lust with her. And then they come up with this absolutely demonic plan to try to force Susanna to have relations with them. And so in the very next scene that we have here in Daniel 13, Susanna wants to bathe in her garden. Kind of there's, in some ways, echoes of Bathsheba, right? Who would be, of course, the cause of King David's downfall in a lot of ways. He saw her bathing, was inflamed with lust. She was, of course, married to one of David's top generals, Uriah. And all kinds of terrible events ensue. God brings some good out of it, of course. The son, eventually, of David and Bathsheba is the great King Solomon, the wise king. All right, so Susanna goes into the garden to bathe. And wouldn't it be cool to have that much cash that you could have these beautiful outdoor gardens with outdoor bathtubs and hot tubs, all that sort of stuff. But Susanna is very holy, and she's really modest. She's really modest. She actually makes sure that her maids shut the garden door so that nobody sees her bathing. But of course, she does not know that these wicked elders, these two elders, are already hiding inside the garden, which obviously has a lot of different kinds of trees inside of it. So Susanna's maids leave to go get some supplies, some olive oil. They use that to moisturize the skin in the ancient world, very hot and dry climate. And when they take off to go get the supplies, that's when the elders jump out, shock Susanna, and present her with their wicked proposal, their very, very indecent proposal, to quote the line, the title of a very famous movie from a few years ago. And so Susanna is obviously horrified, and she's kind of caught between two very, very unappealing alternatives. She says, I am completely trapped. If I do this, if I give in to their desires, then that will mean spiritual death for me, for sure. That will mean death for me. And by that, she means spiritual death, to commit adultery, to commit this mortal sin. But she also knows that if she refuses, these guys are going to try to frame her for having an affair with a mythical young man who they will say was in the garden with her. That's who we caught her with. And so she knows that her testimony does not stand much of a chance to be believed when faced with theirs, their very respected elders in the community. And so she knows that either way, her fate is not going to be a good one. But she says, I'm not going to sin. I choose not to do it. I'm not going to commit this act with you. I'd rather die than sin. And that's an incredible spiritual outlook, to say, I'm ready to shed my blood and give my life rather than fall into sin. Is exactly where we need to be. We have to fear sin, especially mortal sin. And so she cries out very loudly for help. Ah! And then the elders cry out too. Ah! And so the ruse begins for them. All the servants rush back out saying, what's going on with Susanna? And this is when the elders accuse her. Now, what's really important about this was the fact that Susanna had such biblical training, that she was so well catechized winds up in a way saving her life, because in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 24, it says that if a woman who is being assaulted does not cry out for help, no one will believe her accusation. And so I think in many ways, this was her knowledge of the scriptures coming to the forefront when she needed it the most. And she cries out for help, and that would be very crucial later on. The very next day, another court case takes place at the home of her husband's. And that's, of course, Joachim's home. He has never imagined that such a case involving his wife would have to be tried at his house. And you can imagine what kind of an evening he had the night before, thinking, is it possible that my wife really did this, that she was cheating on me? But this doesn't make sense. She's so holy. She's so pious. And as the trial begins, these wicked elders, they give her another indignity. They take off her veil, and they want to look upon her face. They want to lust after her even more. And so this is an incredibly bad predicament for Susanna. Deuteronomy 19:15, it says that two witnesses are required to bring someone to court to be tried. Well, unfortunately, the two witnesses against her are very powerful judges. She is helpless. She knows that the people are more than likely going to believe them. And in fact, that's what happens. That's what happens. The court condemns her to die. But all is not lost here. You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. As she is being led out to be executed, Susanna lifts her heart and her voice to God. And she says, O eternal God, you know what is secret and are aware of all things before they come to be. You know that these men have given false evidence against me, and now I am to die, though I have done none of the wicked things that they have charged against me. That's in verses 42 and 43. And as Susanna cries out in prayer, we hear that God stirs up the Holy Spirit of a young lad named Daniel. So Daniel is there. He's young. This is back at the beginning of his career. But he's still a very respected voice for his unique wisdom among the Jews. And when he hears this cry from Susanna, we're assuming that he hears this personally. And then something within him, the Spirit of God, stirs him up and says, wait a minute, she is innocent. And he shouts out loud, I want no part in shedding this woman's blood. And this is incredible. And this also is something that comes from the Bible, from the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 7, it says that the elders of the city have to declare that if someone is found murdered in their city, they have to declare that they are not responsible for the shed blood, that they are innocent in this matter. And so everyone obviously spins their head around to look at Daniel. And so Daniel has incredibly harsh words for these dirty old men, and he splits them up. Just a brilliant strategy, the wisdom of Daniel. They didn't have a chance to get their story straight. They'd missed out on some of the details. Their plan was so hastily hatched that Daniel says, I'm going to separate them and ask them a few questions, interrogate them, almost like a great detective. And so he asks them this question, under what tree did you see Susanna and this alleged young man being intimate with each other? And of course, they have two different answers. One says a mastic tree, the other says an evergreen oak. They're obviously lying. Everybody knows it. By their own words, they have condemned themselves. And so the innocent Susanna is set free, and the wicked elders are put to death. And again, that is exactly what the book of Deuteronomy says to do in chapter 19. It says, if witnesses lie in trying to accuse someone else of a crime, they themselves must suffer the punishment that the accused person would have suffered if their testimony was upheld. And so these two elders are killed. And as it says in the Bible, you shall do to him just as he meant to do to the other. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 18 and 19. The book of Deuteronomy says, in this way you shall purge the evil from your midst. And that's exactly what they did. What was done to the elders was exactly what they were hoping would happen to Susanna. And of course, the chapter ends with Susanna's parents and her husband rejoicing. Her great character has been revealed to be legit. And Daniel, of course, his fame just grows and grows. So it's a very riveting account, isn't it? A very dramatic story in the Old Testament. And Daniel, once again, becomes the hero. But Susanna's a hero, too, because her inner beauty, the beauty of her soul, her righteousness, exceeds even her great physical beauty. And Daniel, using God's wisdom and his knowledge of the scriptures, helps to save her. And Susanna's knowledge of the scriptures really helps her too. And so this is one of the reasons why we have this program here, The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. We have to do the exact same thing. This is just as Daniel's knowledge of the Word of God helped him to give glory to God, help other people. We need to do that as well. And as we soak up the scriptures together, as we learn to understand God's word very well, we will also be granted wisdom for the very, very difficult decisions and life situations that do require it, sometimes on a daily basis. But we have even more to go on than Daniel did. We have the entire rest of the Old Testament. We have the New Testament too, and we have something much greater. We have, as St. Paul says, the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, he writes. So we can ask for that heavenly wisdom, wisdom incarnate, Jesus Christ, to help guide us day to day as we seek to live righteous lives as Susanna and Daniel did.
That's all the time we have for today, but if you have a question about the Catholic faith, I'll try to answer it on the air. You can send it to me via email. The address is faith@relevantradio.com, faith@relevantradio.com, or you can try to get your question to me on the X app. My handle is @KaleClark. I'll be with you later today at 5 p.m. Central for the Cale Clark Show live on Relevant Radio, and I'll see you in the next episode of The Faith Explained. God bless.